Since 2002, Motley Fool's stock advisor has beaten the market by almost 5 times. And in 2020, 91% recommendations saw positive returns. Imagine what stock advisor could do for your portfolio. Visit fool.com/WSJ to find out.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, April 12th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. If you have a credit card, you're probably wondering what in the world to do with all the miles you've racked up over the past year, and maybe whether there are other things you could be using those rewards points for. Well, credit card companies are taking note, and some are revamping their perks programs to attract a new generation.
They're trying to cater to younger customers. In younger customers, what they're looking for is to, you know, get out of debt and to build wealth. So not just your traditional type of perks.
Personal finance reporter Amber Burton has more on the new rewards programs on the drawing board after the break.
The Motley Fool has been helping investors become smarter, happier, and richer for over 25 years. In fact, their flagship service, Motley Fool Stock Advisor, has beaten the market by almost 5 times. And of the 24 stocks recommended by Stock Advisor in 2020, 22 of them had positive returns. Wondering where to invest $1,000 right now? Hint, it has to do with 5G. Visit fool.com/WSJ.
Those credit cards in your wallet? Sure, they come in handy and some come with great rewards, but a lot of perks are being left on the table. That has credit card companies looking to the future to keep customers engaged. Personal finance reporter Amber Burton looked into this, and she's with us to discuss. Amber, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So why are credit card companies revisiting their rewards programs now?
So credit card companies are revisiting their rewards programs right now just because of the environment we're in. I mean, we've been in a pandemic for over a year, and typically credit card companies are giving back, you know, restaurant rewards and travel perks. But right now, a lot of people haven't been able to engage with that. So that's one part of it. Another part of it is that they're trying to cater to younger customers. In younger customers, what they're looking for is to, you know, get out of debt and to build wealth. So not just your traditional type of perks. And then I think another thing, they're really just trying to keep up with their competitors. The more innovative that some of these companies get, it's really pushing others to do the same.
But people can already use cash back to put toward debt, right? So how are credit card companies marketing these programs when it comes to debt?
Companies are really thinking about, you know, debt in terms of rent and student loans. So, you know, rent is something that a lot of credit card companies have been trying to figure out how they can get into, because as of right now, you have to pay a fee if you're paying your rent with a credit card. So that's something that they're really looking at and is really relevant for young people. But in addition to that, we know student loans, I mean, about 45 million Americans have about $1.7 trillion in student loans in the U.S. right now. That's a lot of debt. It's on a lot of people's minds. So more lenders are really considering, you know, how they can relate their rewards programs to that. So for instance, fintech startup Social Finance Inc. in March, they were one of the ones that launched a credit card that provides up to 2% cash back. And that cash back can be converted to pay down student loans that cardholders have with that specific company. And there are other, you know, rewards programs that are soon to come on the market as well. Built, which is underneath the umbrella of Kairos, another fintech startup, they are, you know, looking into a rewards program that could go toward home ownership. They're not sharing too many details on that right now, but that's another thing that young people are working toward. It's all related.
You know, Amber, we've seen a rise in retail investing this year, especially from younger investors. So how are credit card companies trying to tap into their appetite for risk?
I would say they're taking it a step forward by giving it a little bit more of a specific purpose. And so you see this with, for instance, some of the companies like BlockFi, an online lender for investors with crypto assets. And so they're the type of company that's looking more at how can they, you know, give back Bitcoin rewards. So they are investing in their Bitcoin rewards program right now, later this year, actually. And the card that they are launching is set to have about a $200 annual fee, and it will pay out, like you were saying, that 1.5% in cash back. But what's different about them is they'll convert that cash back to Bitcoin for every dollar spent. So that's a little bit different. It's just a more specific option with that cash back.
You know, you mentioned fintech companies. They've been trying to get in on the credit card business. It almost sounds like there's sort of a turf battle going on between the giants like MasterCard and Visa and the newcomers.
Yeah, definitely a little bit of a turf battle in terms of innovation and who can do it first. That definitely appears to be the sentiment when you talk to the people at the different companies, because there is so much opportunity in this space and so much that hasn't been done. I think one area that comes to mind that was kind of wide open was the environment. There are a lot of people who are interested in sustainability right now. So what kind of rewards can be given in terms of sustainability? And so one that comes to mind is Aspiration Zero. That's a credit card that's rewarding people for, you know, reducing their carbon footprint and shopping at places that have a lower carbon footprint and are good for the environment. And they even have a score that rates different companies that you shop at for what are their labor practices? Are they hiring for diversity? And so the more you shop at these places, the more cash back and different rewards you get. And so I think that's an audience that hadn't really been tapped into before that they're kind of speaking to right now.
Okay, but the credit card companies still have millions of existing customers who rack up rewards in more legacy programs like restaurants and travel, which they might return to as we ease out of lockdowns. What happens to them?
So this is really just integrating in more rewards. The old rewards don't seem to be going away. You know, this is more of like an additional option. So I spoke to, you know, people at various credit card companies, and a lot of what they're adding on now with innovation, whether that be eventually helping you pay down debt or helping you save for a home, they're still going to have those traditional flashy rewards of like, use this for your local gym or use this to go to this, you know, swanky restaurant. But here's another option just to kind of, you know, open up and get more people in to these programs. But yeah, the traditional programs are not going away. This is an added bonus.
But the credit card companies split revenue with the airlines and restaurants and other companies that are part of these reward programs. So where do they see the upside here financially from moving toward these changes?
I would say it doesn't seem like they're going to be, you know, leaving those partnerships behind. But I mean, the upside is really that they're just reaching another audience that hadn't been tapped before. I mean, Bankrate has this stat that, you know, got a lot of attention that about 30% of rewards credit card holders didn't even redeem their rewards in 2020. And now you could say maybe part of that has to do with the pandemic, but that's still a big slice of people who aren't necessarily utilizing what they could. So that's really the area of opportunity right there.
So Amber, we've talked a lot here in this conversation about the future and what plans are for future types of rewards and things like that. But anything futuristic on the drawing board at some of these credit card companies?
Yeah, I think one thing that's futuristic, of course, is there's that idea that could we possibly use these rewards for a ticket to space one day? I think we're all preoccupied with that idea that we could go to space. And hey, I certainly might not be able to afford it, but maybe with credit card rewards, it's a possibility. So that's one thing that we like to throw around and we're hearing people throw around as a really cool idea. And something maybe that might have seemed futuristic at one point that's already here is you can use it for in-game purchases. I mean, we have more time at home. We're playing those video games. Now you can use those rewards for those in-game purchases.
Wow. Space and gaming. So I guess keep your hands on the game controller and keep reaching for the stars?
Yep. You can't lose with that.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Amber Burton. Amber, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.